This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter with Psalm 78. Tell the coming generation, they forgot his work, the bread of heaven, the quail, and provoking the Holy One of Israel. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
My lips
and my mouth shall give you praise. For you, O Lord, and through the silence of your Holy Spirit, as it was in my days now, and will be forever.
Enlightened us in the true faith.
Thank you.
enlightened us in the true faith. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, The British author C.S. Lewis talks about loving your enemy in his book Mere Christianity. He said that in a previous chapter, he had mentioned that chastity is probably the least popular Christian virtue, but now he has to rethink that. Maybe loving your enemy is the least favorite or least popular Christian virtue. Now, Mere Christianity is the product of radio talks that C.S. Lewis gave during World War II. That's the context. And so he introduces an imaginary interlocutor who says, wait a minute, loving your enemies? Are you saying the Jews should love the Gestapo? The Poles should love the Germans? That can't be. If you talk about loving your enemy, don't you ignore the reality of evil? Don't you make right and wrong the same? The way C.S. Lewis solves the problem is that he says, well, what does loving your enemy actually mean? It doesn't mean to approve, to justify evil. And so far, I agree with him. But then he says, loving your enemy means wishing his good, or to wish that he were not so bad. Now, Lewis does not talk about our pericope from Matthew 5, and that's a pity, because otherwise, probably, he wouldn't give such an anemic explanation of what loving your enemy means. Really? Wishing that he would be good? That's it? That's not what our pericope says when it introduces God as the example of what it means to love your enemy. God, who lets his sun rise over just and unjust and gives rain to good and evil. So what does it mean? Well, first, when Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, you might wonder who said that. And if you look at the parallel passages in your Bible, you will find that, indeed, in the Old Testament, you read, you shall love your neighbor. But you won't find in the Old Testament, you shall hate your enemy. So where does that come from? It can be that this phrase, you shall hate your enemy, goes like something like that. God hates sin, and the sinners are God's enemy. And those who are on God's side, they hate sin too. And God's enemies are also their enemies. Now, there's either love or hate. There's binary. There's nothing in between. So when you love the enemy, then you love him with everything he does. But that's wrong. And therefore, the righteous person hates the enemies of God, who are the sinners. And you can see this kind of thinking in the reaction of some people to Jesus when he eats with the sinners and tax collectors. They don't say, what a wonderful example of outreach. They say, he is loving these guys and therefore endorsing what they do. He is fraternizing with God's enemies. But Jesus stands against that kind of thinking. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So the enemies here are not just the enemies of God in the sense, the sinners, those who do what God judges to be wrong. But these are the persons who persecute you. Persecute you why? It's not explicitly stated, but it's implied that this is persecution for Jesus' sake. And now you would have even more reason to hate those people, not just because they are the enemies of God. They are your personal enemies. They persecute you who are innocent for Christ's sake. How can you love these people? These people who heap sin upon sin on themselves and make your life miserable. Just why? Just because you are a Christian. But Jesus says, love them and pray for them. Why? Well, the answer is so that you may be sons of your Father. Those who say, hate your enemy thought, they say that because they are sons of God. They are on God's side. And Jesus tells them, no, you're not. You're not sons of God when you hate the enemy, the sinner, because he's a sinner. And to love them is much more than just wishing them to be good. Loving one's enemy is more than wishing. Jesus says, you are the sons of God when you act like God, and God doesn't simply wish the sinners to be good. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And that means God sends them good things. He does good to them. And so Jesus says, be like God. Do good to the just and the unjust. What does that mean then, to love these people? Well, let's just use Luther's explanation to the Ten Commandments, the positive part, what it means to love everybody and especially also your enemy. So loving the enemy means helping him in every physical need, helping him to improve his possessions and income, defending him, speak well of him, and explaining everything in the kindest way. It means not to try to get his inheritance or house, not to entice or force away his wife or workers or animals. To your enemies. The Ten Commandments apply how we deal with our enemies. Now again, nobody will disagree, right? But when you think about it, that's quite a lot. Because if you only think that, oh yeah, I should help and defend those people who are good people, who are nice to me, well, then you limit the application of the Ten Commandments. And what are you then? As Jesus says, you're not better than the tax collectors. You're not better than the Gentiles. You're not better than the enemies of God. You do not behave like a child of God. God loves his enemies. Yes, the enemies are unjust and evil. And to love them does not mean that suddenly to declare, well, they're all okay. There is no unjust and evil person there. But God still does all these good things to them. And so to be like God is to do good to these evil and unrighteous people. Now God does deal with evil and unrighteous people also in other ways. Because after all, he has also instituted the government. The government that actually punishes the evildoer. God has also instituted the office of preaching. The office of preaching that preaches the law and calls those evil and unjust people to repentance, that calls out their sins. But God also lets his sun shine on the evil and gives them rain. And Jesus reminds us of that kind of action that God does. And I think he does that because it's so easy to identify with God's action in the government and also in the preaching of the law. To be full of righteous anger and righteous indignation. And that's all you are. That's true. Christians are not going back on the law. But it's much harder that you at the same time where you disapprove of what these evil people do, that you help them in every physical need. that you defend them in their reputation, not trying to tear them down, not lying, not saying what is not true, but not lying. So God does both. He gives gifts to the evil and unrighteous people, and he deals with them through the government and the preaching office. But here Jesus is talking about the common calling of all Christians. When he's talking about the common action of God, where his sun shines over the evil one, his rain comes to the unjust. Gentiles and tax collectors operate on mutuality. Their motto is, you love me and I love you. Or if you want, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. You greet me and I greet you. But that's not the Christian way. The Christian way is to love where there is no love in return. The Christian way is to extend the greeting of peace where the answer is hate. The Christian way is to give where there is no thanks. Why? Because that's what God does. It's easy to go either the way of the Pharisee and identify with a righteous God and his law, and not only hate evil, but hate these evil people, especially if they're hitting you. It is easy to ignore evil and in the name of love, just level the difference and no longer call evil what it is. What is hard is to love the enemies of God, your enemies, to pray for them, to do good for them, even when they stay enemies. But that's the way of God himself, who has made us his children, and who lets his sun rise on the evil and the good, who sends rain on the just and the unjust, who sends his son to die for the ungodly, who reconciles humanity by the death of his son, while mankind is his enemy. May God help us to live as his children. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, you have taught us in Holy Scripture to sing your praises, and have given to your servant Johann Sebastian Bach grace to show forth your glory in his music. Continue to grant this gift of inspiration to all your servants who write and make music for your people, that we may rejoice in the richness of your creation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.